One. And we are ready to rumble. Here again, bringing the action.
I honestly don't know what that was.
But I don't know either. You're trying to be like a radio announcer. You're trying your best to piss me off, it sounded like, actually.
You know, I do like to do that sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Sometimes it is accidental, but the way you get mad is so adorable that it makes me laugh.
Some bitch. Welcome back, everybody.
Hi.
We are Soul of a Gamer. I'm Scott.
And I'm Steven.
And he sucks.
I do.
And every week we play a game and we tell you about it.
We do, even though I suck at it.
Yeah, even though he sucks. You ever see that? Is it the Meeseeks who go, "No, Jerry, I'm the one who sucks."
Yeah.
I love the way they say sucks. So yeah, we hope you enjoyed our last week's episode.
Yes, it was Doom.
It was Doom. It was Doom, 1993 Doom. OG. Yes. OG. That game was actually kind of fun. Like, it's weird to jump in there and not have a lot good to say about it, but you can really get lost in it. Like, it's really a fun just sit there and fuck around game.
It's a good just, like, if you want to complete a game in one sitting, it's a good game to do that with.
Yeah, for sure. Or even if you do it in a couple, I guess that's fine, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was fun. This week's game, though, is a little bit different, more story-driven. It's Firewatch.
Yes.
Not a lot of gameplay aspects in this game, but we'll still go over some. Mostly this game is about the story. Before we get started on all this, though, please check us out at soulofagamerpodcast.com. We have our request line there. You could request games on there. You can also do that at the end of every Spotify episode. And then as well as if you want to reach out to us, soulofagamerpodcast@gmail.com. So let's hear from you guys.
Yeah, remember, we still did hear that request to play Baldur's Gate 3. Yep. We are doing that in 2 weeks. So 2 weeks, look out for that episode. We will be doing that for you guys.
Yeah, if we get requests, we will do them, guys. So just so you know. So yeah, let's just jump right into this.
All right.
What's on the box?
All right, so first of all, I do love the box art for this.
I was going to say, there should be a box. I think this game came out in 2016. Yeah, I like it. It's like a scenic view of Wyoming.
Yeah, yeah. Just good mountain view with the forest and the sun setting. It's a really cool picture. I really enjoy it. And then the back of the box, peace, solitude, the great outdoors. That's all it says.
That's all it says.
That's
none
all it
of
says.
Those things happen in the game.
Yeah, I know. But it does kind of make you think that it's going to be that way.
Like, I guess.
I will say the shock factor of this game being what it ends up becoming was daunting a little bit, because I thought it was a peaceful, tranquil Firewatch game. I was like, there's probably gonna be a fire at some point, but I mean, I didn't think all this other shit was gonna happen.
Right. Well, it fucking did, so
yeah.
Alright, well, that box isn't too bad. I think
it needs more said on it. I don't know necessarily what I would put on it, but just something about it.
Yeah, because it doesn't really it doesn't show you what the game is about when it just says peace, tranquility, whatever. It just kind of doesn't set the mood right for the game, because the game does get a little bit darker than that, you know?
Yeah.
So,
like, you could even just be like, guy down on his luck in a rocky place in his relationship goes to escape to a mountain scenic area and shit goes down.
Yeah, that's a little long. I like the 3-word thing, but add a word in there that kind of means like
something
a little dastardly. A little ominous, I think.
Yeah.
It needs something ominous in there, and then it won't tell the full story.
Watched.
Yeah. But it would help, like, at least sell the game more to people who want to do something more than just watch for fires out in Wyoming.
Ooh, you could just add a question mark, because you could do peace, solitude, question mark, and then The Great Outdoors.
That's true. That's true. You could. And they didn't. So they suck.
No. Fair. That's fair.
All right. Well, sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I do really enjoy the box art, though, and I do enjoy that this has a box. I was kind of surprised that this actually did actually have box art.
Well, I mean, it came out in 2016, so I was kind of expecting a box, but just because it's not quite at that digital frontier era.
I guess that's fair. It just seemed like a smaller, like, indie kind of a game, so I was like, wow, that's actually kind of surprising.
Yeah. Well, all right, let's move on.
Are we damn it?
All right, Scott, let's tell us about some of the audio and the cast.
Okay, well, firstly, I really enjoyed all the animal sounds in the background in this game. Yeah. It was actually kind of peaceful. Like, that was actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
No. I really did enjoy all of those. There's, like, random little music spurts in here. But let's go with the cast. The cast here, we got Rich Sommer. Sommer? It might be Sommer or Sommer. As Henry, the main character. Sissy Jones as Delilah, the secondary main character. Larissa Gallagher as Julia. Aaron Yvette as Teen 1. Nikki Rapp as Teen 2. And Mac Brandt as Ned Goodwin.
Okay. Sissy Jones is someone that's been in a lot of games we played. she's actually going to be the Absolute in Baldur's Gate 3 that we're playing up and coming. Nice. She was the sorceress in the Spyro Reignited trilogy that we just played.
Okay.
And I think, if I remember right, she was also Psychonauts. I think she was Lily.
Oh, I think you're right. I think that right makes sense.
So she's a voice actress in a ton of things, including some of my other favorite game series and stuff. Just incredible voice actress and probably my favorite part of the game, voice acting wise.
I agree. I don't know. So mostly the voice acting was amazing. Like, there's no part where the voice acting is really bad. It's just sometimes the reactions of the characters to certain things weren't living up to the things that were actually happening.
Yeah, I could see that a little bit.
And it was 90% from Henry, because Henry would, like, say something almost, like, as if he's concerned, and then he's not concerned. He's more sarcastic about it. I'm like, dude, there is somebody fucking watching you. You should be concerned.
Yeah, no, that there were some times with that I was like, what is, like, why are you still doing what you're doing?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to do what I'm doing.
Not just doing what you're doing, just you're not expressing the value of being scared. You're just kind of like,
yeah,
I'll go to this thing and it'll be fine. I won't even say how scared I am or how nervous I am or how anything I am.
Fair.
Oh,
fair.
Just kind of weird. There's a big soundtrack in here. There are a lot of little kind of like guitar sounds going on. A cool, like, when you're in certain areas, something happens. There is an ending song, although I'm not too sure what it is. It says Escaping Time, possibly.
Hmm. Okay.
But I'm not 100% sure about that.
I did like some of the music in it, though. That was,
it's just fun, serene.
Easy to listen to.
It's nice, serene music. It only happens during serene moments. There's not a lot of, like, there's one kind of like when you're jumping into that gated off area that kind of ramps up the music a tiny bit, but there's not a lot of ramping up with the music, which can be good, can be bad.
True.
In horror games, the sounds kind of have to reflect what you're doing, and this is not necessarily a horror game, but it is a drama.
At times it feels very horror-ish.
Yeah, but it's still not.
So weird. Yeah.
But I would like the mood to be represented more by scary music.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh.
But I mean, the atmosphere that they did create with those tense moments did still feel tense. Like,
yeah.
They were very, like, especially like the sound design, like when one of the characters gets hit over the head.
Yeah.
And you hear the sound cut out for a second, and then you hear, like, the sound faintly coming back in. Like, that's some really good audio design there.
For sure. They did some good things in this game. I just wish there would have been a couple more scary things. I wish I wish it felt more like you could die in this game, and it really didn't feel like that.
True. Oh, and I was wrong. It wasn't Sissy for Psychonauts. That was Nikki Rapp.
Oh, okay, yeah. Nikki Rapp, didn't I mention her?
You did mention.
Yeah, she was one of the teens. She's one of the teens.
That's right. That's what it was. Yes. Yeah. I remembered someone in this was Lily. I couldn't remember who, though.
Yeah.
Which, the teens were insane. That was an insane...
It was just stupid. It was short and stupid. But yeah, that's it for voice acting. So let's move on.
Incredibly sexy voice acting.
No.
I just wanted to say this about the voice acting because I forgot to bring it up earlier. Delilah.
No.
Yeah, dude.
Dude, there's something about an Australian accent that just gets you.
Oh, I mean, you're not wrong. That one's great, too. Both of the voice actresses were great. But there was something about when I was playing it, like, my wife, she was just, like, listening to me play it, and she was like, oh my god, this is very reminiscent of the movie Her. And, like, she's not as good of a voice actress as Scarlett Johansson is, but still, it had that same kind of moments for me where I was like, oh yeah, yeah, your voice is doing something to me.
I want to hear you say that word again.
Which word?
Reminiscent.
Reminiscent?
You are fucking rushing the shit out of that word.
Reminiscent?
There you go. That's perfect.
Okay. Sorry.
You said it the first time. It was like, it's really reminiscent. And I'm like, what the fuck is he saying?
Reminiscent. You don't say it that fast.
I don't know. Delilah, half the time I thought, yeah, she's kind of sexy. And then the other half, I'm like, you are the most annoying person in this entire fucking canyon.
Well, like, I really like the voice moment where they were watching the fire and she's like, I really wish I was with you right now. Like, that's a really good moment.
It's really an awkward moment because then it turns weird, I guess. From that moment onward, it's just weird with her.
That's true.
Like, that's the pinnacle of what you get out of her, and then it just gets fucking weird.
That's fair.
Oh. All right, well, let's move on.
Yeah.
How does it play?
All right, how does it play?
This game, I mean, we said it, it's very simple, basically. Yeah. You have a pickup mechanic, a walk-around mechanic, open shit mechanic. You don't really do a lot when it comes to game mechanics, you're mostly just walking.
Yeah, walk, hit A.
Yeah.
It's one of those games, there's not a lot to do. Go ahead.
I do kind of wish they would have made the map a little bit better.
Yeah, there was parts of the map, especially on the Xbox, and I hear a lot of people in the reviews talking about the Xbox version being, like, a little touchier on the controls.
Yeah. Well, it's not just that. It's like, when you open a map, you just want the map open in the viewpoint that you want to see it as. But in this case, you take out the map, you can't see shit on it unless you zoom in on it by holding another button. And I'm like, why wouldn't you just take out the fucking map? Like... And they have the compass, and, like, I only used the compass one time.
Yeah, the compass, like, it was okay, but, like, it's, like, cool. I know to go north, but sometimes the path to go north, you had to go, like, really far east.
Yeah.
And you couldn't just follow the compass to get where you wanted.
And moreover, you're marked on the map, so it's not like you can't just follow your own character's thing on the map. The compass just seemed like too much. And I think that's the reason why they, because you took the map and the compass out at the same time. I think that's the reason why you don't zoom into the map right away. And I just didn't like that.
That's fair. I agree with that, though. I definitely just didn't have a lot of fun with the map. And just even, like, the layout of the map, like, there's not a lot of variety to it. And it's very, like, linear. You have one way to get to this area. Yeah. And it's the most annoying way to get there. There's a lot of areas you climb down, you can't get back up, you have to find another way around to it.
Yeah.
I thought it was a little bit better when you got the axe and started, like, making some pathways that way, but...
Yeah, but you only made, like, two.
Yeah.
So it's really, I don't know, they just... I think they underdid it with controls in this game, maybe throw a little bit more excitement in.
True.
You know, this is a game that might have benefited from a few quick time events. Just a few.
Yeah.
Not a ton. Just a few.
That's fair.
I get the simplicity of it, too. I don't know. The gameplay is kind of boring, so it does... Like, this game, I played it twice, right? The first time I played it, I was enthralled. The second time I played it, I'm like, okay, now I get it. This is a game you can only play once.
I have heard that a decent amount, and, like, I was enthralled playing it the first time, but, yeah, like, thinking about it, I'm like, I don't know if this would even be that great on a replay.
Yeah. Like, and it's just sad because it would be nice if this game was more of a replay to get different options. But I played and I tried to choose different options, and the options almost all ended up the same.
Oh,
that's kind of lame. So, yeah, it's just kind of boring in that regard. You do get to pick and choose some options in here, guys. You can pick and choose, like, how your character's life starts out kind of deal, and then you can pick and choose what you tell Delilah, the other character, just hanging mm-hmm. out. But you don't really... It's not that big of a deal, and it doesn't seem to affect much whatever you choose.
I wish you had more time sometimes. Because there's times where, like, I wanted just a few more seconds just to think about what I was going to say. Or, yeah. like, I was climbing and I couldn't pull out my walkie-talkie at the time because I was rappelling or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, shit, like, I didn't know you were going to start talking to me right now. I thought you finished. And so I'm like, I can't answer right now. That's fucking stupid.
Yeah. The talking moments in this game were strange. I never missed any, but, I mean, they weren't terrible. You just only have a few seconds to respond on some of them.
Yeah.
Mostly gameplay is okay. I mean, it's not terrible. You can climb, you can run, you don't really swim, you don't I did like the unlimited sprint that they put in the game. That was nice.
Yeah.
If they had put in a limited sprint, I would have been really fucking pissed off.
For sure.
And then they definitely lowered how big the area is.
Yeah.
I didn't understand. I get why they put the signs up to be more authentic. It'll say like 1.4 miles this way, and you're like, I just got here in 2.5 minutes. That was not 1.4 miles. And like, and I get it. They lower the scape, but don't even include the fucking signs, or just make them seem smaller or something, because it took you like no time to reach any area.
Hey, this guy is the fastest man alive, right?
He must be, because like, yeah, that some of them are just like 2 miles away, and you'd get there in a minute and a half, and you'd be like, am I God?
Yes.
I'm
yes,
Superman, aren't I? Yeah, nothing. Not too much in gameplay, though. I don't think.
Yeah,
I don't think there's much else.
Not much to it. Yeah, there's reading passages and stuff too, and reading notes.
Yeah,
but like even a lot of the notes didn't seem to like coincide with anything. They were just like random.
Just random.
Like some of them had other effects to it, but not really in much involved.
I mean,
story.
If you paid attention, every note you got, you hung up on your wall in your tower.
Yeah, I did
so,
notice that.
Like, you could collect them all, I'm guessing, and I'm guessing that's an achievement on Xbox.
Probably.
But it's really not worth it going back in and just trying to find all the notes and stuff.
That's a quick game, though, so it'd be a fast achievement
yeah,
to get, I guess.
It'd be fast, but it requires a lot of travel time.
True.
Because, like, true. The maps are straight out in trails and not actually, like, in open areas. So
yeah.
You don't see where the certain lockboxes are. You just kind of guess.
True.
Yeah.
I wish the caches had more stuff to do or things involved too.
Yeah.
The caches didn't seem to have much in them.
Only one cache had a rope, which I thought was really funny.
Yeah.
This is the only cache in this entire wilderness that had a rope.
And then you find that random backpack that has all the rope in the world.
Yeah, and it's like, this is enough rope to strangle the entire planet's population.
Three times over.
Yeah, it's like, why?
Okay, I have enough rope to rappel off of every cliff I ever see for the rest of the game now.
Yep. All right, well, is that it for gameplay? You have anything else?
Yeah, I think so. That's it.
Let's move on.
It's time for reviews.
All right, well, now is a lovely time of the episode where we read some of your reviews and see if you are little bitch boys like us, or if you are valid in your reasons for liking and or hating the games.
I hate this game because I got divorced while I was doing it, and it kind of made the game suck.
There might be a little bit of that.
That'd be
the first two reviews I saw of the game was Edge to Delilah's voice for the whole playthrough.
That's good. I like that's stupid, but I like it.
Second one I saw was 4 hours of Forest Ranger roleplay with ASMR from a coworker with a sexy voice.
And they all really liked Delilah, man. If Julia was the main character, they'd be like, I'm not edging anymore.
Well, they would be edging. Just to a different one.
No. They'd be... You can't edge with Julia.
Oh, you can't edge with Julia. Yeah, oh, I get it. I get it.
You're like, I can't hold it!
Jesus. We're so sorry, Julia.
Julia's voice was
sexy.
So that's
what you do to Scott.
Yeah, Julia's voice was sexy. I love that Australian accent.
That's fair. There are some good accents in this game. Let's see. Firewatch still features the best voice acting ever produced in games. The storyline sparks your imagination and creates a certain suspense. Although the ending doesn't meet expectations, the overall experience in a short title is hands down worth it. I can't help but share a positive review.
I can't help but share a positive review?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's the right way to end that, but okay. Maybe just say, like, this game was good.
I mean, they did. I think the most...
All I can do is share this positive review. Like, what are we talking about? Just, you already said it all. You don't need to say they can't help sharing a positive review.
You are sharing a positive review.
Yeah, you're already doing it. You're in life. You don't have to say that you're doing it. We know because we're reading it.
This cake is so good. All I can do is eat cake.
Yeah, like, what are we fucking talking about?
Just play this game. It is a masterpiece.
I'll agree. First time playthrough, it is a lot of fun.
Yeah. Let's see. I got some negative ones here. The storyline teaches young kids the wrong values in relationships, starting you into one being drunk, then proceeding to make her terminally ill and sending you off to escape. Then having another woman constantly flirt with the main character after finding out he's married, and continually giving you the option to cheat on your terminally ill wife. Do not recommend for anyone. Also, the game is very short, and you only get anywhere if you play into flirting with the other woman. 1 star, it is still too much, but hope this helps.
It does sound like that person got divorced while they were doing this.
Yeah,
this fucking game inspires cheaters to come out of the woodworks. These little sluts.
First of all, you're wrong. In all aspects, who, while dating, didn't ever get drunk and meet someone and start dating? And how many people have met in bars?
Well, I don't think that's like, what they're saying. I think what they're trying to say is,
they said being drunk there.
There's a certain amount of debauchery that they are
not
comfortable with.
She's not terminally ill. She has Alzheimer's and dementia.
Well, I mean, that's terminally. For a lot of people, that's like the end of your life.
I mean, I guess.
Yeah, like,
I guess as like a terminal illness. I just thought of it as a mental illness.
But I could see it like being portrayed as a terminal illness.
Plus, of all of the things, like, that is such a hard thing to deal with as a spouse.
Yeah.
Having your wife forget who you are. I don't know if anyone can imagine that feeling
daily
basis.
I don't think this person understands that this is not abnormal for relationships.
No, that's true, too. Like, but, I mean, like, we have especially...
50% divorce rate in America. So
that's not true anymore. That's an old stat.
Well, whatever the divorce rate is, it is higher than what it should be, right?
Yeah, and I think it's like 37 or something like that.
And if we looked at that divorce rate, how many of those divorces were a result of cheating?
A lot of them.
Yeah. So it's not like it's like like these people are teaching them to cheat. I'm like, people just fucking learn that as they get older, idiot.
Well, and this game is not a kid's game.
No, by any means, it's not a kid's game. How are you supposed to understand what's going on as a child?
Yeah, I don't remember what.
There's
this
no excitement
was
in it, too. It's just.
But I mean, they talk about drugs. They talk about talks about perverts and nudity. There's talks about drinking alcohol and causing forest fires. There's talk about murder and death.
Yeah.
Like, it's not necessarily a kid's game. Your kids aren't getting taught this.
True.
Yeah.
True.
Just felt like I was like, no, I don't agree with you.
You're full of fucking shit.
A game that captures the feeling of isolation and immersion of fire watching, yet throws a moral story about cheating in marriages. The player is constantly finding mysteries about the woods, only to have these mysteries be interrupted by Delilah, who cares if the player likes her or not. Disappointing that the story turns out this way.
I'll agree a little bit. You know, it's expressed in the game that I don't talk to anyone else as much as I talk to you. And I'm like, how the fuck do I know that?
Yeah.
You could be literally
all the guys.
Yeah, you should literally be talking to every single person and saying that exact line to every single one.
Well, and I think even the line choice that I said back to that was something to the effect of, "You're the only person I talk to now."
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, it's like,
I don't have a choice but to talk to you. I don't even get to talk to the other people.
Right?
I have a two-way walkie-talkie.
Yeah, I don't know how to even contact anybody else.
Well, I mean, like, she had, like, a professional radio. I don't think...
True.
I don't remember if there was one in our tower or not. There might have been.
I don't know.
Can't remember, but if there was, we never used it.
True. Let's see, very short, terrible ending, poorly designed controls on the Xbox. It was pretty and had good voice acting. However, the video game needs a good storyline and playability. If it wasn't all the plot holes left in the ending, it would be an okay game.
Damn.
That's pretty harsh.
That's pretty harsh, dude. You're harsh in my mellow.
Harsh in a pretty hard, man. Just pretty hard. And we'll go back to one more positive review. Short but sweet, Firewatch packs a lot of emotional depth into five or so hours of playtime, and the art style and overall ambience are very enjoyable. Prepare for some melancholy. This isn't a lightheaded story, though it's not overly dark either. Through its enjoyable experience, this game packs only an afternoon's breadth of content and has nothing in the way of replayability. Buy it on sale.
Yeah, I would agree. No replayability at all in this game.
Yeah. Really great review, honestly, for that one. I think that one's to the punch, everything that you need to know about the game. It does have a lot of emotional depth. I thought it was very good in that aspect. The ambiance is incredible.
Yeah. But yeah, because of the lack of gameplay, it doesn't have any replayability, which is not good.
That's fair.
All right, well, let's just move on.
It's story time. Let's get started.
All right, Scott, read us a story.
Okay, so in this game, you play as Henry, a 39-year-old man who has some problems. Henry's wife, Julia, has early-onset Alzheimer's and is starting to completely forget their life that has been built for the last 10 years together. Henry is distraught, and no matter what choices you make for the well-being of Julia, he feels that people judge him. Because of this, Henry decides to take a job as a fire watcher in Wyoming for the summer. He is charged with watching for fires in the Wyoming area and has a direct supervisor who is close by, but only communicates by walkie-talkie, who is Delilah. Delilah tells Henry that she has been working as a park watcher for 10 years. She also tells him things about herself, like how she came out here to forget about a breakup, and that she still thinks about calling her ex. I just lost where I was. Hold on. Don't freak out. Henry can tell Delilah about Julia or just keep it secret. During the story, Henry does several things. Firstly, he finds two young women who are setting off fireworks, which are illegal in that part of Wyoming, due to the dry brush. Henry confronts the woman and tells them to knock it off. Then Henry sees another person who is just wandering around, though Henry does not find out who he is. Henry returns to his lookout to find it is broken into and the summer of pseudo-horror begins. Throughout the game, he learns about many things. There was a previous watcher who had brought his kid with him, who just up and left, and there is a fence for a research facility nearby his watchtower. As the summer moves on, Henry goes fishing and finds a clipboard with conversations him and Delilah have had. He is then knocked out after finding a walkie-talkie on the ground. After this, he tries to break into the research station and tells Delilah about it. He leaves to find something better to use to break in after he can't break the lock on the gate. He eventually finds an axe, and him and Delilah hear a cough on the walkie-talkie. Delilah gets her and Henry a new walkie-talkie, and Henry breaks into the research facility. He learns that someone has been watching him and Delilah closely and learning things about them. He also finds a tracker that can track certain radio signals. He then leaves to see and sees a fire started in the distance. He then makes his way back to the tower and finds a cassette taped to his door with a confession that he and Delilah started the fire. They did not, but now someone can send this to the police and they can get in trouble. He uses this tracker and finds a backpack with a key nearby to a cave nearby that's gated off. In the cave, Henry finds the remains of a kid that was there with his dad. A day later, he learns that the kid died while learning to climb because his dad didn't understand that the kid was not ready yet. He also learns that the person who has been spying on them was Ned, the dad of the kid. Henry finds a tape from Ned telling him about his kid and how he just wanted to be left alone. Henry and Delilah leave and can either spark a romance or not by the end.
Yeah.
There's some things I didn't mention in there. Those two for women you find in the first part end up missing. But then they end up found. Yeah. I don't know. That part of the story was just so fucking drag and lame. Like, it added a certain amount of scariness because you almost feel like now there's a murderer in the woods.
Yeah, I thought so. Was something that was going on, and like the way they were acting and stuff, like I thought there was going to be more played into it, because
yeah,
the way that starts out, you see the fireworks, you go to confront them, you see a line of clothing up towards the lake.
Yeah,
like,
two sets of underwear, both women.
There's two women naked up ahead, and then they automatically start calling you a pervert, wondering why you're there. You can tell them you took their fireworks away, then they like hate you, and they're like, fuck you, and they're cussing at you and telling you to go away, and they're gonna call the cops on you and talk to them about how perverted and ugly you are. And I'm like, what the hell? I'm like,
god damn, my self-esteem has taken a major hit today.
And then they cut like a telephone line, and then they like take off their panties, put shit on them, and write like shit notes on rocks, and like
yeah,
then they leave a note on their tit and like tear it up like a bear attacked them, and they'll left a note for you that says, "Dear psycho, I hope you're fucking happy. We're leaving and we're going to find the police or whatever and tell them about how you creeped on us on the lake and you came and destroyed our campsite and all of our stuff. Oh, and stealing our panties is gross out. You've probably a mental fucking axe murderer and you're so going to jail. I hope it was worth being a jerk over some fireworks, dick."
Jesus.
And I'm like, what the fuck is going on in this game?
I had thought that Ned was the one who tore up their campsite because they were camping fairly close to where he was.
Oh my god, I never thought about it. Ned might have been spying on them at one point too. Yeah,
I think so.
Oh my god. That was
my thought was immediately like, oh shit, because I think their campsite was really close to where his bunker was.
You're so right. Yeah. I didn't even think about that. I was just wondering, like, why they would come at me with all those allegations right away. I'm like, but I just walked up here. Like, why would you think I've been spying on you? That makes way more sense.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm guessing that it could honestly be the other way around, too. They could just be crazy bitches because they'd end up going to jail for stealing a tractor.
Yeah.
So
I think you're right, though. Honestly, that could make a lot more sense. And because, like, that would mean that the note wasn't for you. It was for Ned.
Yeah. Yeah. It could go either way, honestly. That was a very very small part of the game was that part.
And it comes like right towards the beginning, though,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. And it comes up like several times during the game, but it's not that important. Like, it just sets the mood that they might be murdered in the hills somewhere. And honestly, yeah, I'd prefer to find their bodies in Ned's bunker than hear that they just got arrested and spent some months in jail.
True, true.
Like, that would have been a much fucking, like, more dramatic moment.
I mean, it
would have
gone darker, sure, but
you don't even have to meet Ned still. Ned could, like, run away, and he's like, I left you a gift in my bunker. And then you go in, and it's two fucking bodies in there.
Oh, God.
That would have been so fucked, but such a good ending to the story. I know they didn't want to do that. It's clear they didn't want this to be a horror, but, man,
they could have even done a Seven moment and had a gift in a box, and then not even show a head in the box. Just all of us would know the reference.
Yeah.
What's in the box?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Like, there's so much ability in this game to make it a horror, and I kind of hope someone revamps it and turns it into a fucking horror.
This could easily be a horror game. And honestly, this would be incredible as a horror game, especially if you pulled it off that you didn't show it as a horror game at all when you, like,
yeah,
for all of the marketing. Because, like, I didn't think it was going to go even anywhere near this dark in the game whatsoever, just buying it.
By the way, Ned for sure killed his kid.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I don't think it was
no way you'd...
Well, it's not just that. If you look at the body, the head is covered in rocks. I'm like, how did just the head get covered in rocks? This is really weird.
Yeah.
Was he hiding his face because he didn't want to look at it?
Maybe.
Or did he... Like, if you would have taken the rocks off, would his head be smashed in?
Possibly,
like, yes, a fall could do that, but also blunt force trauma can do that too.
I mean, it could have also been an accidental kill. Like, they could have both fallen and he landed on him or something.
Maybe, but there's five rocks on top of his head alone, and that's it.
I'm not so. Saying that you're not wrong. I'm just... Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's definitely implied that it's a possibility, but it never gives you an answer.
Throughout this entire thing, guys, Delilah is fucking... Like, she is
corny.
Again, there's a shift. There's, like... A shift between this game being fun and kind of flirtatious to being just kind of like Delilah is the bad guy.
Yeah, it's weird. And I don't... The shift in her at the end, especially like in my playthrough, because she didn't wait for me and she didn't want to wait for me and stuff, like from the helicopter.
I didn't ask her to wait for me. I kind of wanted to, and I kind of just said no go because I was thinking like everything's on fucking fire, get out. But I'm thinking more of I should have said wait, and I think she would have.
So I said wait and she said she was going to, and then I got to the tower and she was gone, and she's like, obviously I didn't wait, I'm sorry, blah blah blah. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I'm guessing so, if you, because I chose in this playthrough not to tell her about Julia.
I told her about Julia. I wanted to be open and honest. Yeah. I would have been if I was in that position.
Well, I did the first time, and I wanted to see if I could spark a romance, and it really didn't do anything. I said, you should come back to Boulder, Colorado with me, and she goes, I got some stuff to do in Santa Fe, but maybe I can make a trip down there. And I'm like, is that the romance that I wanted?
I got that same answer when I asked her to come to Boulder, too. So I was like, that's a little weird. That doesn't mean me think that you actually want a relationship. It's kind of one of those like, yeah, we'll totally hang out.
Uh-huh, it's a summer fling.
Yeah. Summer loving. Loving so fast.
Yeah, for the most part, honestly, Delilah is like a cool person up until the moment where the first fire happens. There are two fires, guys. Sorry, I didn't mention that either. The first fire is, you know, they think started probably by someone camping, more than likely. And the second fire, also more than likely, just started by someone camping. They never accuse Ned of starting either fire. I don't think he would either, because it's kind of near his home.
Yeah.
But the fire at that point of the first fire, and you see it, like, you're just talking to Delilah, you're flirting nonstop. She's like, you know what I would do if I was there? And then the fucking episode just cuts.
I hated that.
Yeah, and you're like, okay. But, I mean, like that was a cool moment, and then after that, it just gets so much shittier. Like, she just becomes a shittier person.
Yeah, like, her always just, like, hiding. Like, I told her to tell the cops about what happened with the girls.
Yeah, I did too.
And then she was like, I didn't want to
deal with it.
Yeah, and I was just like, what the hell? Like, why do you keep doing this? And just even though, like, she talks about, like, her family and her past life and stuff like that. Like, oh, I think my sister would like this job, but she needs a wheelbarrow of marijuana to even function.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay.
She also did a really weird thing. This made no fucking sense to me, okay? I just wanted to let you know, this made absolutely no sense.
What's that?
She came over and hid the walkie-talkie.
But then didn't actually come say hi or anything?
Yeah, she didn't come to the tower where you're at. Wouldn't that be safer? You already know your walkie-talkies are hijacked. You know that there's a tracker that can track your walkie-talkie signal.
Not only that.
Oh, no, you didn't know that at that point, actually. You knew that later.
She also has seen someone at your tower. You've seen someone at your tower. Your tower is the most compromised position in the entire mountain.
You'd think she'd come by and just say, hey, just wanted to check up and actually meet you for reals.
No, seriously. Especially like, oh, hey, this is the drawing I made. Like, I wanted to see the drawing she made of me.
You could have.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, in her tower. I forgot. You did get to see it.
Yeah, it's really bad. It's not great.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like throughout this entire game, she's flirtatious. And then like by the end of the game, you're just trying to hold her together because she can't hold herself.
Yeah. She's freaking out about everything and all the things she did do and didn't do. And she's like, I can't do this job anymore. And I don't know what I'm going to do with my life anymore. And she's like, Jesus.
She only does it throughout the summer. It's not like she does it like all year round.
Yeah. But she's like, I don't know what I'm going to do next summer.
Yeah, she's like, and she's 43, I think, is what the little paper said. Yeah. So she's not like a young kid either, but she's an old woman, or a middle-aged woman. So
yeah,
I don't know. And I did like the backdrop to the story, the whole Julia thing, although it did feel kind of stupid at times.
I wish they delved more into it a little bit.
Yeah.
But like, it did feel like, it felt kind of too much like Up at the beginning, because you're getting like all this backstory, making all these decisions to like start your relationship and how you're going to do things and if you're going to move, if she's going to pursue her dream job or not, like all these different things. And then it's like, oh, and then she's got Alzheimer's, and then you stopped visiting her, and then her family visits more than you do, and then you stop visiting her completely, and then she's like, what the fuck
What choices going on? Did you make with the dog? Did you adopt the Rottweiler, or did you adopt Bucket?
Bucket.
Okay, I should have adopted the Rottweiler. I wanted to see, I was kind of curious. So, the guy kicks the dog.
Yeah.
He's got a knife, but he kicks the dog away.
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't kill it, but I wonder if the Rottweiler would have attacked him.
Oh,
and then
he
would have stabbed the dog and killed it.
Oh, possibly.
Like, I'm glad I didn't pick the Rottweiler for that reason. But I want to look it up now and figure out if that like affects it at all. And then did you pick to put her in a home or not put her in a home?
I put her in a home.
Fucking monster, dude! You're a fucking monster.
How am
You're
I
a
monster?
Fucking monster, dude. I'm just joking.
If you get to the point where you think it'd be like he said, there was the time where he left to go to work or go to do something, and like she went missing or whatever. Like, you have to watch someone like that 24/7.
Yeah.
Like someone with Alzheimer's can get up, go around, do anything, get lost anywhere.
Would you like to hear what happens when you don't choose that option?
Sure.
So my first playthrough, I didn't choose putting her in a home because I'm like, oh no, I could take care of her. I'm her husband. And she got out. Oh, well, kind of. I don't know why your character decides to do this. He locks her in her room.
Oh no.
And then goes out to the bar.
Oh.
And she wakes up in the middle of the night freaking out because she doesn't know where the fuck she is. And she's banging on the door to get out, and she breaks out of her window, I think.
Oh, Jesus.
Or she either,
so sad.
I can't remember if she broke out of her window or actually called her sister. Either way, the police get called, and her family forces her to go into a home.
Oh, my God.
Because they don't trust you anymore. And I'm like, that is fucking awful. I'm never making that choice again. And I didn't.
Seriously. I'm glad. I felt pretty monstrous putting her in a home, but I was like, I feel like it's the best option, and I'm so glad I did now. That's so horrifying.
Yeah, it's such a dick move by the guy.
And see, that's the thing I hate about some choices in games, because like, the choices that you think are more heartfelt sometimes become the most grotesque, awful shit ever. And I'm like, no, like, yeah, I want to take care of my wife, and then I'm going to lock her in my house and go to a bar. If I have the mentality of I want to keep her around and I want to take care of her, I'm not going out to a bar.
And that's fine if you, like, set up a watching person, but...
Yeah, like, call her sister over. She wanted to visit all the time anyways.
Yeah, and we should say that your wife is from Australia. I think I've mentioned the accent a few times. Her family all lives in Australia, but I think her sister is there just to help take care of her.
Yeah, and she started visiting daily, even.
Yeah. In the home, she's like, her family is visiting her nonstop, but you kind of just wane off.
Yeah.
I'm guessing you're just sad. I mean, you've been together 10 years, which sounds like a long time. It's not that long.
Yeah.
But you almost expect to be longer when you're in your late 30s, but...
True.
Get together in your late 20s.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a sad thing, but it's one of those, like... questions that it's going to be so controversial always. It's kind of like this movie I love. It's called Me Before You, and the guy in it, he's a paraplegic, and he used to be like full athletic, doing all these crazy things, huge rich guy and everything, and he ends up wanting to take his own life because he can't deal with not being able to do things anymore.
Yeah.
And I thought it was like a beautiful and touching movie, but there's so many people out there like, oh my God, he fell in love and then he killed himself. Like, he's such a horrible person. I'm like, you don't know the struggles he was going through on a daily basis. Like,
yeah, idiot.
You don't know what that's
idiot.
I'm not calling anyone an idiot.
Yeah, idiot.
I'm just saying, like, things that are like this tragic in someone's life are hard for everyone around.
I don't know
them
why
to
I thought
with.
You were gonna say things that are this gay, and I'm like, Jesus, Steven.
If I was talking about that, I'd be saying something about myself.
Yeah, the story for the most part is really good with that intro part, right? Like, it's all kind of okay, but you're right, the choices do not reflect at all. Like, the choice between, she gets a choice of going to Yale and working at Yale or staying in Colorado, and I'm like, you don't have any kids. It sounds like you don't have any family there. Why the fuck do you want to stay?
I was wondering why he wanted to stay. I did say that I wanted to stay.
I was just outwardly confused.
Even though my real life, I totally do the opposite. I even did that. I moved across the country to pursue my wife's dreams.
Well, you don't really have a choice to say you want to stay or you want to you get to go. Like, you just say you can go work, but you have to fly three times, or you stay in Colorado and she doesn't get to do her dream job. And I'm like,
I hated that. I was like,
what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah, because I was like, why can't we both move over there?
Yeah,
like,
seriously.
Why can't I have that option? Like, why give me the option of you can move that way? Because, like, that was the thing, that the reason I didn't want her to move, or her to go there, because I didn't want her to go by herself.
Better.
Well, if you're not willing to make the move for your partner when there's no reason not to.
You are
going to
find someone better.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. But for the most part, I mean, the story was good. It's just, like I said, this story can't be played twice.
Yeah.
Because twice, you overanalyze it and you don't like it anymore. For the first time play through the story, it is a lot of fun. You get to feel terrified and everything. But the second time, you already know there's no danger.
Yeah.
That feeling of intensity from the first try is gone. Like, there's nothing there anymore. You know what's going to happen.
That's true.
So,
yeah.
And you could say that about a lot of scary games, but you could still be scared in a moment in a scary game, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because, like, this one doesn't have any, like, actual, like, jump scares or scary moments, per se. This only had the tension of the unknown. And now that you know it, there's no tension anymore.
Yeah, all that tension is gone for the rest of the game, and it just makes it hard to get through the game when you want so much more.
Yeah, for sure.
What do I know? What the fuck do I know? All right, I think that's pretty much it for story, unless you got anything else.
No, I think that's pretty much it.
All right, let's move on. Worth
or not? All right, I think this game is still, I think it's worth it. I definitely think probably buy it when it's on sale or play it on Game Pass.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with that. I think this game is totally worth it. I just think it could be better.
Yeah. So,
Game Pass would be ideal if you already pay for that, but if you don't, buy it on sale for sure.
Yeah, I think just because there is not really any replayability with this game and there's not a lot of actual diversion of options, and it's hard to tell like what your choices are going to be, I don't think it's 100% worth it at full price. I mean, I think it was only like a $20 game when it came out anyway, so it wasn't ever expensive per se, but I think $5-$10 for this game is perfectly fine. You'll get enough enjoyment out of it, and especially that first time playing through, worth it.
Alright, yeah, I'll say worth it. I'll say worth it only because I did like the first time so much.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the first time was just so much fun, and you kind of forget that you've played the game before the second time when you like it.
Fair enough. So. All righty.
Well, that was it. That was a game.
Yeah.
That was it. That was it.
Yes.
That was all.
Next week, we got a fun one.
Next week, we're going to fuck a moose.
Maybe. Trepang 2.
We agreed to fuck a moose.
Fine, we'll fuck a moose. You first.
No.
Wait, is it like chocolate moose or an actual moose?
So that's a racial question that I'm not comfortable asking.
No, like the dessert chocolate moose.
I don't want to look at you anymore. Racist.
I just,
Liking a dessert makes me racist?
Yeah.
Only if I liked white chocolate mousse would it make me racist.
You are racist. Anyway, yes. Next week is what? What'd you say?
Trepang 2.
Trepang Dos. Whatever that is. I don't know what the fuck that is, but okay.
I only know about this game as far as just, like, the trailers when it came out, because it was pretty hyped. It's a crazy, fast-paced, first-person, blood-bursting-everywhere, bullet-storm horror game. I'm intrigued as hell for it. I can't wait.
And guys, make sure you send us emails and put in the request line for ET at some point. Like, all of you. Everyone do it, because then we have no choice.
He's really wanting to force me to do this game sometime.
Yes, we're going to play ET at some point, but if you guys push us to do it, we'll fucking do it sooner.
I guess.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching on your radios.
Yeah. Watching on your podcasting and your Spotify's and YouTube's
your headphones
and your headphones and
thanks for watching on your headphones.
Your little iTunes and your.
All right. Well, we'll see you next week with Trepang 2.
Bye.
Bye.